You are listening to Fly Like an Angel. Fly Like an Angel is supported by arrangemymortgage.com.
So I'm here for this very special episode of Fly Like an Angel, joined by my two regulars that need no introduction and a very special guest for this evening. He is the living legend, the all-time top appearances, Tunbridge Angels superstar, Sonny Miles. How are we, Sonny?
Very well, thank you, boy. Yeah, I've blushed. Thank you.
You loved that introduction, didn't you?
I've had worse.
You probably had worse from us three, to be fair.
I was about to say that.
You're looking very well though, because you're not playing football at the moment, are you? You're looking in top shape.
No, I'm trying to look after myself, yeah, but Christmas is just around the corner, so
yeah,
not sure how that'll go. But and golf's getting harder because it's getting wetter. But
true.
It stopped, the ball stopped rolling, which is sort of helping me a little bit now. So yeah.
So what are you doing? Are you doing running? You going to the gym or whatever? Or are you trying to keep yourself fit to be on a football pitch again? Or
no, I'm still trying to keep myself fit. I think when you've done it for so long, you know, I was never the one that was at the gym 24/7 or, you know, with a rip roaring six pack. But it sort of becomes a bit of a habit. So still trying to keep myself ticking over. But yeah, no immediate plans to return to a football pitch. No.
No, not at all.
No, I'm enjoying it, Bobby. It's been nice.
I can imagine.
Is this your first Christmas off for 20 years or something like that?
Yeah. 16 years probably. Yeah. So it's it feels a bit odd, to be honest. And it took a while, even pre-season, because you sort of normally only have, it seems like you have a while off maybe as fans, but really you only pre-season seems to get early and early every year. So you only sort of ever really had maybe three, four weeks off. Then you started to think about doing some bits again. I mean, most people go back relatively fit pre-season now, Trev. So it's not like, but it was odd. It was odd, but at the same time, very nice. Yeah, very nice.
So as this is like a special coming up to Christmas with the Christmas games in mind, I guess we can ask you this now, and you've got no one that can have a go at you if you answer it wrong. what's Christmas Day like for a player? Like, do you, especially a non-league player? Because yeah, I guess most non-league teams will have a game Boxing Day. So do you have to be a bit strict on yourself? Can you have one too many Baileys? Have you seen players that have turned up for a game on Boxing Day and you thought, yeah, you're not in the best shape? Have you been that player?
No, I've not, to be honest. I always personally try to look after yourself. So you wouldn't necessarily have a drink, or you might have a glass of wine with your dinner. But apart from that, no. They're normally quite important games, aren't they? Boxing Day. And New Year's. I won't name them. But they've definitely been on your podcast. They would have had a few drinks back a few years now. It's difficult for a player. But you get paid a sum of money from your employer, and you don't want to let people down. So it's important that you look after yourself, but you know, it's always difficult turning that last pigs in blanket down, isn't it? It's always the way. They're always looking at you all day.
Did you see it as a job then? I know you're playing for fun, right? But you are getting paid, so it is a job actually, isn't it?
Yeah, I think especially for me personally, when you was, you know, I started playing, I played with Tommy's obviously for a very long time, but it sort of I always looked at it as like your mortgage. Really, you know, if you're lucky enough to be able to be in that position, and you can go through life from, like, you know, when you buy a house, like, I bought a house at 20 and then through to like 33, and you can, I took it quite seriously. Some people might not look at it like that. That's just the way I looked at it. But yeah, I looked at it as a job, but also, you know, footballers, whether you use that term loosely, for non-league players, it's, you know, you're lucky enough to be able to play. A lot of people would be, you know, really want to step out on that pitch at Tunbridge or, you know, wherever it's Dartford, whoever it is, and playing those games. You know, I'm sure if you ask after fans if they, you know, they want to go out there and have a game for half hour, whatever it was, they'd bite your hand off. So, yeah, it, you know, I took it as seriously as I could, really. And I think most people now do. Yeah. Really, they do. A lot of people really look after themselves now.
Yeah.
And you never really got much time out with injury, did you? You had a hernia once, but I don't remember you ever being off
Gammy shoulder.
Gammy shoulder.
Yeah. So it was never something, I don't know, hamstrings or calves.
No. And to be honest, Jeff, that's one of the reasons why at the end when, you know, I had some various others offers for some clubs and stuff, and I sort of, you know, when you stand back and look at it, so I played that amount of games. And we also had the two COVID seasons where obviously some of those appearances were like limited. But I looked at it, and I don't mean this to any disrespect to any of the lower league, you know, sort of a couple of leagues below us or anything like that. But when you go and watch some of these games, and you see them kicking, you know, living daylights of each other, and it's, you know, it didn't really appeal to me, if I'm being honest. I'm lucky enough where I've got a relatively good job, and it's a big risk. In my opinion, it's a big risk. So I sort of looked at the options and get to spend more time with my family, especially my little girl, who it seemed like I was putting her down yesterday in the hallway in that travel car, and now she's six. So it was like, sort of, what happened there? And it's when you weigh it up and you think, you know, do I want to get drive to, you know, most of my work's in Sussex, so I'm driving to Sussex every day with an ACL. You know, that's my job and my life,
and
my family.
Yeah.
So
that makes sense.
So that was one of the reasons, really. Yeah, but no.
So you didn't have to block Stephen Kim after too many calls, then, did you?
I had to block his number. No, I didn't. I did actually get a call from Steve, but I speak to Steve regularly, and it's obviously when I saw they got a Charlton game, I did text him asking if he wanted an unused sub, but he didn't reply back.
Oh, so he's been texting you all the time, and then suddenly not interested. Yeah.
I think he was too busy texting Laura Woods. So yeah, it's,
can't blame him though.
I can't blame him. Me or Laura Woods, I don't know.
Oh, amazing. And also we played Hythe in the FA Trophy, and there's a few of your former teammates down there. So a team like that. But a team like that, you've got some awful pitches as well, haven't you? It's down at that level.
Yeah, it's not really like, so that would have been an easy one to do, you know. And it's not at this stage, like sort of let's say career or whatever you want to say, it's not about money or going to someone who pays the most money and things like that. It's like, you know, it's, do I want to work in Brighton and then travel all the way down to there and then come back? And one of the reasons why I made the decision I did is because, you know, you find yourself working late on a Monday to cover yourself for the Tuesday because you've got to go train or you've got a game. And then you do it, and then you're getting back at sort of like, I don't know, midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, and then you're getting up at 5-6 o'clock, and it's bloody hard work. And I got to a point where I wasn't seeing, you know, for like probably a quarter of the week I was seeing my family.
Yeah.
So sometimes when, you know, people say, oh, it's like it's this and that, it's quite a big commitment.
Especially now.
If you look at it, and I know some clubs pay really good money and things like that in the league we're in, the league above, and even the league below. But if you actually add it up as an hourly rate, football, I don't know if anyone ever looks at it like that.
Yeah,
that's a good point. You know, what would you want to earn if you went to work on a Saturday, if you was a carpenter, electrician, a plumber?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you think, you probably earn that in a day on a Saturday to what some of the boys and some of us were getting paid. And that's not a dig at the football club at all, because they were always brilliant. But when you actually look at it like that, and some of the boss obviously saw
it into perception.
The Torquays, the Western, that, you know, that's all day from your family. And let's be honest, if you sat on a coach for whatever it is, 10 hours of a day, when you wake up Sunday morning, You've got to have a relatively understanding wife to let you go just another 10 minutes, babe. And yeah, so the kids need to go swimming.
So we're going to put this podcast out and the players are going to listen and half of them are going to go, he's got a point, isn't he? What are we doing?
Cheers, mate.
So have you been keeping up to date with the Angels results and have you been watching any of the games?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, I went down to watch a Tuesday night game the other day. I had a meeting in some as well. So I come down after. Honestly, still very good friends. I know Joe's gone now, but Johnny, very good friend of mine. So always interested, always watch the highlights. And when I get the time on a Saturday and it's on they've got the National League thing, I pay to watch that, and I'll always look out for the results. And I'm really glad they've, Jay and Parky and Blackie have turned it round because they, they're a very good team to watch. You can see it wasn't far away, in my opinion. And obviously now, great result Saturday, amazing result.
Yeah.
I didn't watch that game, but I watched the highlights. Saw the elbow on Jamie, which was terrible. I'm glad I didn't play because I wouldn't have reacted like that.
I could have done with you coming up the bench.
Yeah, it was a bad one. It was a bad one. I hope Jamie's okay. I do watch as much as I can. And obviously, being relatively local, you still see everyone. It's great. It's really, really good.
Interesting. That was a bit of a benchmark win in terms of where the club's going, Sonny. Is that, back in the day, putting four past Dartford would have been, wildest dreams stuff, wouldn't it?
Yeah, of course.
Do that all the time.
The last 15 years.
We used to do that all the time
before
Sonny played, didn't we? When they were rubbish.
Yeah, it might have been
the last 20 years. Yeah.
Of course. The Boxing Day and the New Year Day and the Dartfords and all of those are always very tough games. But the I saw Johnny after and we went out together and he said to me he didn't have a save to make all game, which is, huge credit. If you look at Dartford's squad on paper, it's a very good squad and it seems like it was a very easy afternoon. That's credit to the players and, Jay and Parky and Blackie for, getting that performance on. Yeah, and it was, it's obviously a great win.
Well, we've been saying for a while, haven't we, Lee and Trev, that we've been needing to score goals and that we have. Yeah. We've done four in two games in a row. Eight, you know what I mean? We've scored four in two games.
Two nils coming up, haven't we?
We have, yeah. Well, let's talk about that in a sec. So the first one before we move on. So Jordan's got his scoring boots back, which is good. Gardy scored from open play, so he's not just the penalty king, which is good. my favourite new little player, I think he's been quality for the last two games, is Mo Dabre. I think he's been brilliant watching him live. The ball seems to stick at his feet and he beats a man. I don't know what you two think.
I was going to say, who's your favourite big player?
My favourite big player? Yeah. All right, sorry, my new favourite player. There you go. But no, I think Mo Dabre's been a great, great little find. I need to stop
And where did he come from? I can't remember.
Chelmsford.
Chelmsford. You wonder why someone...
That's where they found him, is it?
Yeah.
But why these players don't stick at some places and then they come and sort of just switch on straight away?
I thought they said he was good there, but the manager used him incorrectly. I think their supporter said that he was half decent.
Yeah, fair enough. Have you ever played against him, Sonny? Do you know? Mo Dabre?
I think I have, but I can't remember where. But I was watching the highlights, and the pace scares the life out of people, doesn't it? And
he's got the pace. Well, it's pace and keeping the ball at your feet with the pace as well. I think that's the thing. That's good. So obviously, so far so good. It's been really good, and the last two games have been really, really enjoyable to watch. So now coming up, then obviously we have got Taunton on Saturday, which I think we could all do without really having to go down there just before Christmas. But they've all got to be done at some point, so that'll be a tricky. I mean, their game's been called off tonight, so presuming there's no rain, that will go ahead. But it's a tricky, horrible pitch. Would you fancy that, Sonny? Would you fancy going down to Taunton on the 2 days before Christmas?
Yeah, it's a fun coach journey, isn't it? But we went there without Johnny. We went there without a goal. Or did Kevin?
Yeah, he did.
A couple of centre-backs. Called in last minute. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a tough afternoon. So they're a very they're the same as last year. Very well organized, big physical side. It'd be tough, but it's one of those that you sort of want to get out of way on a Saturday because then it'd be a Tuesday night, wouldn't it?
Obviously. Yeah, true. So yeah, so just get it done and
Get it done. And listen, if you go and beat Dartford 4-0 and have a relatively, you know, they'd probably be more worried. I'd imagine Jay's been saying to them, they'd be more worried about you than what you are them. You know, I know Jay and the coach team will pay them ultimate respect, but you know, the boys are on fire, aren't they? So you know, they should be going
they had a flying start to the season, but I checked back, they've only won twice in the league since they beat us in September, which seems bizarre. You know, they've just loads and loads and loads of draws, and I can't help thinking that it's got probably got draw written all over it. Actually,
well, I was going to say I would take a draw and come away with no injuries playing on a pitch like that and the weather and everything, because we've got a few now we're in no cups. We've got what I'm going to consider potentially our two most important games coming up after that. I think
they're all
important. They are. I like how the interview with Jay just ended when he was asked a question
If we won at Taunton,
yeah,
and then lost both the Maidstone games, you'd be outraged. But if we draw both the Maidstone games and lose at Taunton, we'll have less points. So what would you prefer?
I prefer maximum points. Maximum points.
Oh, okay, just nine. It would be quite amusing to come, you know, to have 9 points in. 2 weeks' time, 3 weeks' time.
It would be good, wouldn't it? Well, so before we talk about the Maidstone games, then, as we've got you here, Sonny, and I'm not, when I ask this question, I'm not trying to fish you. I'm not meaning the obvious goal that you're going to think. For Tunbridge and actually wearing blue, I seem to remember you've had some, I can think of two. I feel like there was a goal against Dover that might have been a Boxing Day goal, and there was one away to Bromley that was a last minute winner. I feel like it was you as well.
Yeah.
So I felt, for some reason, I have you and Christmas games and a bit of success in my head. But have I got that right? Have you got any memorable Boxing Day or New Year's Day fixtures that you can remember? Other than
they were a long time ago now, but yeah, I do remember them. Yeah, I remember them. I remember the Dover one. The Dover one was at home, and the Bromley one was away. Yeah, last
that was
minute.
It. Yeah.
But do you know the game that I actually enjoyed the most was. A couple of years ago, it was under Macca, and we went to Maidstone away.
Yeah.
We went 1-0 down, sort of mid third. And in the second half, I can't remember his name now, but we had a lad that coming up front. I can't remember his name.
Was it the two all game?
Yes.
That one? Yeah.
But it, as a player, we felt like we absolutely battered them.
Yeah.
And Harry, was it Harry something? I can't remember his name now. It's terrible.
Oh, I know you, mate. Yeah, he scored.
He scored.
We had Jason Williams or something like that? Have I made that?
That's
up?
It. Jason Williams scored.
Yeah.
And then in the first half, and then we missed some absolute sitters. I can't remember the forward that we brought in. He was a foreign lad, but he was.
Yeah.
He had a header from sort of a yard out that we put over the bar in the second half. And that, for me, that was the most enjoyable game because. They were sort of we sort of really put them under pressure. I really enjoyed that game. Really enjoyed. I think it was. I think that's when the flair come onto the pitch. Is that right?
Yeah.
Or is that
a
sore subject at the moment? We're not
allowed to. No.
It's a sore, the flair word sore subject all round. Let's move on from that.
Right, okay, fine. I might have put my foot in it there, but I'm sorry.
No, that's all right.
They're always memorable games, aren't they? Listen, I think as well when you're. More of a local lad. Jay will be drumming it into the lads probably after the tour game. It is important game for the fans, you know, it really is. And
yeah.
I know it might not be Millwall West Ham, but it's, you know, I understand it. And and listen, it's ultimately it's you want to get one over on your local rivals who are you know having its relatively successful season. So
I think you remember in that game is interesting for me because I think that was for me, that was the first game where we went to Maidstone since we were back in the Conference South. And obviously, we were Conference South. A lot of people would go, oh, Tunbridge, you know, they'll do well to stay up, and Maidstone will do well to get promoted. It was that sort of level. So that game sticks out for me because it was, as you say, on paper, we sort of battered them, and it was like, no, we're here. We're trying to prove a point. And then what's really interesting now is, obviously, I know they've gone up. We've had a few good seasons, but I like how where we are now on the table, we're not that far behind them. And it's really nice now going into these games. And that's what I was hoping. That's all I wanted. I wanted us to have a bit of run and a bit of form so we can go into these Christmas games and try and, you know, if we go and lose both, then perhaps it'll put us in a place. But I feel like going into these Christmas games and being like, no, do you know what? We're not that different anymore. And then when you add in the history, obviously, with Jay, it's mainly Jay now, isn't it? Because of Devontae's gone out on loan, but the main one being Jay there, and obviously he was so well loved by Maidstone. It really makes for a good script coming into Boxing Day, doesn't it? So I think it will be exciting. Trevor and Lee, I don't know, you both, just another game, is it?
Just another game. Are you going, Bobby?
Yeah.
There was going to be some excuse.
No. Mate, I split up with my girlfriend for this. That's why I'm joking. No. I'm missing Boxing Day and New Year's Day. Yes. But no, it should be good fun. So yeah. So you and Trev, looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, it's nice. It'll be a nice full ground. There'll be lots of people there. There'll be lots of noise. It's what you want, isn't it? That's what you go for. You go for the atmosphere. You go for the banter. You go for the fun and games. And I have no reason to believe we can't give them a good game. I don't see why not. I think it should be. I'm certainly going confident of a win, but I'm certainly more confident we can win than I have been in some of the past meetings. So yeah, why not?
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah,
Sonny, are you going to watch? I assume you can't go, but you can watch it, can't you? If you want to.
Yeah. Is a Boxing Day one home or away?
It's home.
Boxing Day's home. New Year's Day's away.
I might come.
Here's a question for you. Do you have to pay to get in?
That's a great question.
Especially at Maidstone, would they let you in for nothing if you turned up and said, come on?
No way. Not there. No, that's 16 quid taken out of their pocket, isn't it, or whatever it is now. But at Tunbridge, but if I'm being honest, I did say to Johnny beforehand, I said to someone, I didn't really recognise in the gate. I said, I've got Johnny Henry's here. And then someone grabbed me and was like, just walk in. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was trying to say a little bit undercover. But that was the first time I've been back. So it was nice to come and nice to see some people. But no, I don't, Lee, of all the questions you were going to ask me, I didn't expect you to ask me that. But I'm not surprised. But I did have to pay for my Bovril. So there you go. And about 15 quid for a pint, and I was like, what is that? I didn't know what it was. I gave it back, I think.
It's like the old Harry Redknapp story about Bobby Moore, isn't it? When he was in the back of the West Ham stand and they made him pay to get in. That shouldn't be the case. You should be, if the club ever stop you from doing that, then I think there'll be enough fans that will pay for your ticket. There you go.
That's all right. I appreciate that. Thank you.
And did you have some of those chips that we managed to get back on the menu?
I think you managed to get them back on the menu. I saw you marching outside with a banner. I didn't have any chips though, because there was a relatively big queue.
Be careful what you say. Don't you know? You can't. No. Too big a queue. Oh no!
It's short enough.
I don't know what's going on. So I'm just saying it as me. So
there's a good tactic. So what we've discovered is anything that we say on here that gets us in a little bit of trouble is because it's what we've heard. We then voice it, and then we might get in trouble. What we should do is we should talk to you about it beforehand, and then when you say it, you can't do anything wrong. So there we go.
No, my views. I'll put it out there to the Angels fan. My views are my own, and not your views.
Here's, I've got another question. Actually, there are burgers named after some of the players.
Yes.
Yeah.
And were you aware of that as players, that there's burgers named after you, right?
Last year I was, yeah.
Was that the first? Have you eaten yourself?
No, I haven't. What burger am I?
I'm saying that you.
You're a Sonny Stafford. Where is that gone?
You know, you're the double. I think you're the double burger.
I love that.
I think they're trying to tell me something.
Did you see?
I also thought that's been Nathan Elder. Really, he should be the great.
No,
big
he's,
one.
I think he's been.
Oh no, no, no. So this is how I stirred it on Twitter, because the Elder burger is just the burger now, but it used to be I think it was the one that you've got now, Sonny, where it's like two burgers, bacon, cheese, or whatever. So I tagged Elder and he was like, "What is going on? This is ridiculous." And he was like, "How am I just the normal burger?"
I'm not arguing with him. If he wants to. He's not coming after me.
Brilliant.
No, Lee, I've not eaten myself. I've not. But if it's any good, I'll give it a go.
And you never. There's one. Is there a Henley one still?
He don't deserve a burger, does he?
Goalkeepers don't deserve burgers, do they? Just name a sausage after him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
Or
that should be a craze. The Henley hot dog. That's what it should be.
Yeah.
It'll be a full long hot dog, though, isn't it?
Yeah, the extra large Henley hot dog. There we go.
I don't know how this room is still going on. I really don't.
Amazing. So, whilst you're on here, Sonny, Lee, Trevor, you've got any other questions you want to ask, Sonny? Sonny, you got any questions you want to ask me, Lee or Trev?
However, I've got only one question, because you said he's a living legend.
Yeah. Right?
At what stage did you think you were? I mean, did you think after 200 games you become a legend, or when you came back from Maidstone, or what stage honestly, did you think you were a living legend?
No. When I come back from Maidstone, I thought I best have a good season here. I'm going to get this. But if I'm honest, when I sat down with Jay at the end of a couple of games by the end of the season, if you ask him, I didn't want to say anything. You know, I wanted it all to be done. I don't know, and then obviously would have announced it in the summer, but because I found it all a bit embarrassing. But it was Jay and Park, especially in Blackie, they sat me down and said, like, you deserve it. So it was really nice. It was not, you know, it was nice for my family and stuff like that. And obviously took me off at the end, which was nice, really. I had the ump about coming off, to be honest, but when you actually took it in, and some nice people that I think an awful lot of saying some quite nice things about me, that was really nice. But no, like the legend thing is a bit of a, for me, it's I'm grateful, and it's nice, but and like Pete, I was walking, I take my little girl to breakfast or whatever in Tunbridge, and someone always stops me and says a line, and like, oh, that's really, really nice. And I think as players, you should take the time and the opportunity to talk to some people, because that might be their only conversation they have that day. And if I can make a difference in talking to people and some of the kids and stuff like that, then it's great. And I'll always have time for them, and like you guys and coming onto this and things like that. And I really enjoy it. And it's hopefully one day in the future I might be involved in the club in a different way. But that would be really nice. But for now they're better, aren't they? Let's be honest. They're flying now, so
it took a while to fill the gap back.
They're still only mid-table, Sonny. They're not actually any higher up the table than when you were playing. So think about that.
Cheers, Lee. Cheers. Right. They've conceded after goals, though, so something must be going right.
We had to bring in that the Rolls Royce from Wimbledon, didn't we?
He's a good player.
Even the one game that I come to watch, and I missed the first probably 20 minutes or so, really stood out, really good player, really comfortable on the ball, which is exactly what Jay wants. He wants to play a certain style of football, which he really suits, and Swifty's still there.
and
he's injured for quite a while.
Yeah, he's injured, I feel really sorry for Swifty. You know, he obviously had that sending off, then, which he will probably admit now. The first one was obviously a bit of a reckless challenge. The second one, I watched the game, and I felt a bit sorry for him.
Yeah,
because I think he was slightly stitched with the pass, but it, he's a good character, and he's done well to. I think over the recent performances before his injury, he was playing really well.
I would agree with that. I think Dartford away when we lost 1-0 was the first game this season where he really stood out for me, and I think because he was doing everything. He was not just the one that was defending. We lost, but when a lot of other players looked like their heads were down, he was running forward. It was the only, because people weren't moving around, he'd run forward with the ball and end up halfway, because he was just like, come on guys, we've got to do something. And then obviously he had the red cards, and then against Havant he was having a great game, and then obviously, yeah, the injury, which is a shame.
Yeah, I feel for him. He's a good kid. He's a really good kid. You know, says a good kid, he's 24 25 now, whatever he is, but
yeah.
You know, I think he'd be a good player. It's rare to get a left-sided player, you know. And I think naturally he will, you know, Jay obviously really likes him, and you know, I think he'd come good. I think it will help him playing alongside Cody with someone with a bit of experience.
Yeah.
And also, you know, playing alongside Ethan, who's at a pro football club, but it's they seem to be, not shipping so many goals, which is great. And then that obviously gives the boys in front of them some license to go and play and go and do the things they do. So, yeah.
Here's a tough question for you then. It seems as I can ask stuff like this now. If you were manager, would you have Joe Tyree in and around that squad? Because the amount of times Tyree would have actually got on the pitch this season because of injuries, or would you have him out on loan? I mean, is that more valuable for him with a view of the future?
I think it's, I'm not trying to sit on the fence or anything like that, but I think it's really difficult. I think when you're a manager, Jay will have the best interest at heart for Joe. You know, it's, he wouldn't keep him around in terms of whether that's via contract or via, you know, keeping him associated with the football club. But I think it seems like every time it sort of goes, right, I've got three centre halves now who I think you probably need. Potentially you need four, and I know you've also got Parky. I think Parky's more, I know he's played the last couple of games, but probably in fourth. And then what you don't want to do is you need to put him out to a club. That other club's only going to let you, there's only be so many times they go, oh yeah, Joe's got to come back. And then before they go, look, we can't have this. We're going to have to go and get our own centre half. And I think Jay's been relatively unlucky with the way that's sort of gone, because if it was to be said, you know, obviously you now got Swifty, who will be out for a while probably. I think Cody's about to come back. And then you've got Jamie potentially out now for, if that's concussion, he will have to be out for 20, is it 21 days now?
21 days, yeah.
Yeah, he will have to be out for that period of time. So I think what's really important for Joe is he keeps playing as much football as he can. You have the potential to bring him back and him not play for five, six games, and that could kill him if he doesn't play. It's very hard. I think it's very hard as a centre-half to come in, out, in, out, in, out. So I think it's a difficult one with Joe, but I do believe Joe will go on to be a very, very good player, a very good player. And I think he will probably... If he plays regularly in the first team, I think he will probably play higher. Hopefully with Tunbridge, obviously, but I think he will probably go and play higher.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. No, cool. Appreciate that.
I've got a question, which is it's about goalkeepers, actually, and the weird people that they are.
Yeah.
Just why do you think they stick at clubs so long compared to other players? Because they always seem to do a good 5-6 year stint, sometimes more. And I just wonder what particularly if things are changing in front of him. It must be quite difficult for Johnny, for example, this season, the first, 10 weeks or so. I doubt he played the same four in front of him consecutive matches.
I don't know. I think, to be honest, I think it's credit to the club, really, as well. Do you know,
yes.
like for I'm speaking on behalf of Johnny now, but you know, we're good friends.
The bloke who stood in front of him and listened to him moan all the however long it is, or he's listened to you moan for however long it is.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, really, there's loads of things I want to tell you about him, but I won't do that. But I think the enjoyability around it, like the club, like Johnny's traveling probably 2 hours a time to come and to, you know, they're 2 hours there, 2 hours back. To where he's standing. You don't do that if you don't enjoy it. So, you know, and let's be honest, everyone loves him. You know, and that's going to pain me to say this, but he's also a very, very good goalkeeper. So, I think Tunbridge are incredibly lucky to have him because there'd be clubs out there every summer probably that want to sign him. Yeah, definitely at this level.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they stay for so long, but they do. You are right. They do stay. I'm only talking from a Johnny and a Tunbridge Angels sort of collective, but you are right.
They got Lee Morgan as well, for example, who was around for a long time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I think it depends on what you want your goalkeeper to do. You know, you see a lot like, obviously if you're successful and you're relatively young, you don't hang around long anymore.
Yeah.
So, you see that with like the Worthing Ugly. I think he went to Dorking from last year, you know, because Mark will want to play a certain style of football and he suits that. He's probably not interested if he's going to come for crosses. He wants to know if he can zing it out like Edison at 50 yards or, you know, 3 centimetres off the deck, you know. But that's fine. But, you know, it's a good question. And they do. It's quite, you are right. You know, quite often you go to clubs every year and they've got the same goalkeeper.
Yeah.
And
I also think the goalkeepers are quite hard to find, good goalkeepers. So if you're a manager, or if I was a manager, I'd be thinking, right, I need to set, you know, you can find a left back, centre half, probably goalkeepers and forwards are probably the hardest thing to find.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you've got a good goalkeeper, you probably your first phone call in the summer.
Yeah, anyone else in the middle, it's easy enough, isn't it?
Doing all the other jobs. You just sit there and head it and kick it as far as you can. Yeah. You know? What's so hard about that?
And scoring from corners, piece of piss.
Yeah, well, you know.
So, quite quick question. Can you hear me any better or worse than you could for the rest of this podcast?
No, you sound the same to me.
Right, I made an observation whilst you were talking about Joe Tyree, is that my microphone wasn't actually plugged in, the lead was just hanging. So I've been holding this microphone near my hat, but actually I've just been using what's ever on the Mac. So if it sounds better, then
it'd be good if you play it back and we can't hear you at all.
That'd be brilliant.
I'm just going to have to edit in me speaking. That'll be fun.
Yeah, just Lee talking about sausages. Then random other questions. That'd be brilliant.
And then second question is, go on then, as we finish up, let's do some predictions then. So Taunton, what are we saying?
I'll go on Lee first.
3-0 win.
I reckon it'll be a close game. I think it'll be 2-1 Tunbridge.
2-1 Tunbridge, true.
I'm going for the 1-1 draw. I'm going for the cloggers hammering through the mud better than we're able to pass over it. So I'll be very happy if we won, but I think it's going to be the hardest, in some ways, it's going to be the hardest game to win of the next three.
I'll do that.
I would take a draw and no injuries, but I feel like we're going to nick it. Maybe just 1-0. Get it done early. There we go. So that's Taunton. And then Boxing Day, Maidstone at home. Lee, what are you saying?
Are they actually any good, Maidstone? I don't know, are they? Not really.
Well, they've lost. Well, he was injured anyway. They've lost their striker. I don't
literally have no idea who plays for them.
Well, I think they've got a lot there.
I just know. All I know is they lose and everyone gets excited, but I don't know who's in their team. I don't know who plays up front.
They lost 5-1. Obviously, so the guy that I can't pronounce his name because I don't know it.
They sold someone, did they?
They sold someone to Bromley. Then
for how much?
Levi. It was undisclosed. So, but it was a release clause. So I don't think they're found.
Was there some talk about 80,000?
I'm not sure.
What are Bromley doing with 80,000?
You don't want to know.
He's got so much money, that bloke in charge of Bromley. It's just mad,
he's been
isn't
there
he?
A while,
he
isn't he? Yeah.
So
they got him, and obviously they've got we'll Bevesh, who came on loan to us for one game, didn't he?
He was good when he that came.
He's been sent off. He was sent off, wasn't he? He'll be banned.
I'll tell you what, sorry, I'm just going to say this. I would only ever say this about a rival team's player. I would never have put any money in a million years' time after that one game that next season he'd be their main midfielder. So well done to him. Fair play. But he has been sent off, so he's not playing.
Yep. And that goal he scored, the goalkeeper should have had it, shouldn't he?
Yeah.
It did look like it was a bit slow motion. I mean, get across and put your arm up.
Let's not give him any credit, Lee.
None at all.
So do you still, this is while we're talking about Maidstone, obviously you went there and you just, you know, do you still see that as the highlight of your career then, playing for Maidstone in the FA Cup or what?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. Yeah.
do you just pretend it never happens?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Who did you beat?
We drew 0-0 with Stevenage at their place. Then I don't know if you remember, Lee. I don't like talking about it often, but then you liar.
And I then didn't
we beat him at home in a replay. Yeah. It was on BT. I don't know if you remember. I've got the record, I've got the DVD. If you ask my mum, she's got about 10,000 of them. So
then we went to Wrexham,
thinking, boy, he beat Stevenage. I know I always play quite deep, but I can't remember getting out the penalty area for about 35 minutes. It was like an absolute bombardment. But we lost, I think it was 3-1 in the end. We went 2-0. Then we scored. And then I think it is Aaron. Do you remember Aaron Simpson, the right back?
We don't remember their players.
No, he got sent off, and then that was pretty much it. I think they scored another one at the end. So
yeah. So your question.
So that comes second. That comes just above Bradford. Yeah, just.
Bradford's a tough day. I'm blaming COVID.
You got to meet Mark Hughes. That's nice, wasn't it? You got to meet Mark Hughes.
It wasn't
was he Mark manager then?
No, it wasn't Mark.
No, it was Stuart McCall.
Someone rubbish.
Stuart McCall.
You got to meet Stuart McCall.
Yeah. Who?
Yeah, it was. That was a tough afternoon. That was.
Wasn't it?
That was a very tough.
But they scored too early, didn't they?
Yeah, it was my marker as well. It was my fault.
Was it? Yeah.
I'm not used to moving.
Nobody. The thing is, nobody was there. Nobody cares. So you kind of got away with it.
Yeah. It'd have been different with fans in. Our singing would have somehow got you used to him moving.
Do you know what though? Even the game that I went to on that Tuesday night, you lot make some noise, didn't you? I'll give you some, like when you're playing, you don't always, like I'll tell you when you used to notice it the most was in the second half, normally going down towards the changing rooms and you were maybe chasing the game, or it was one, or it was a draw and you putting on more pressure. But when I was actually there, I was like, bloody hell, it's quite a lot. I got out, because I was late, I got out of the car, shut the car door, and I was like, what's the noise? And as you get closer, I think more people in those flats over the corner, they must not get any sleep.
To be fair, I think there's the number of fans that are sink, like especially the last sort of 2 months, even when results haven't been there, there's a number of fans that are just singing non-stop, which has helped. But I think obviously the football recently has helped as well, but it's just good atmosphere around the place. What's really interesting at Longmead though, and I think especially probably being at the other end of the pitch, unless it's corners and stuff, when I watched the highlights of the Dartford game back, because of where the tower is, obviously for the first half, the camera and the microphone is nearer the Dartford fans. And from behind the goal, from my perception of the Dartford game, was we were singing all game. We couldn't hear Dartford other than every now and then. But you can hear on the camera only Dartford fans, and Dartford fans are singing songs about not being able to hear Tunbridge. And I think that's just the setup of Longmead, that the way it's open, that you can't necessarily hear past the halfway line. You can't always hear the fans that much, I don't think.
It's loud. It was very loud. You know, I could always, you know, you can hear it when you play. It's great. It really was. And I know it's an old cliche. Players say when you can hear the fans, as fans get behind you, it does make a difference. It does. Yeah. It really does make a difference. So,
you know, I'm glad.
Although
that,
we are a bit stuck because we haven't got a regular song for corners this season, so we need to come up with a new one. Because first game of the season, I made a joke. We're coming up for corner. I made up a joke of going, no.
It was then watch me run out up there, duck out.
Yeah, exactly. So right, we got lost on predictions, didn't we? Sorry, Lee. So what did you say for Boxing Day?
I was sure we were going to win
5-1. Brilliant. Yeah. Sunny, Boxing Day at home versus Maidstone. What are you saying?
I'm going to go for I think it'd be a comfortable 2-0.
Nice.
To Tunbridge.
Yeah. Get that. Trev?
Yeah, that's what I'd go with as well. I think at home, if we come out of the traps nice and quick, I don't see why we shouldn't win 2-0. That'd be nice. Scary scoreline, though. You know what we're going to be like for the last 10 minutes if we're 2-0 up.
Yeah.
We'll be hiding.
Yeah. I'll take a bold 3-0 then. There we go. Ooh. Put some balls in there. And then finally, obviously it will hinge on that result, but as we're not going to do one between New Year's and then New Year's Day away. Go on, Lee. What's your prediction for that one?
I think we'll lose 5-1.
Brilliant. Sonny?
I think it'd be, with my Tunbridge head on, I think it'd be a draw. And I think If you get a result at Taunton and then out of those two games get 4 points, I think that's a very good return over Christmas, especially with a Dartford result attached to it. Yeah.
Agree. Trev?
Yeah, I'll tell you again. I think it does depend what happens on Boxing Day, but I think a draw would be a nice result there.
Yeah. And I'll be bold again. 2-1 win. There you go. Why not, eh? Why not? I've got to be there. Right. Well, Yeah, and we will, won't we, by then? So, yeah, brilliant. We'll finish up now because of time, but it's been a pleasure. Anyone want to add anything before we go?
No, just nice to see Sonny. Good luck.
Yeah.
Love all you. Nice to see you all.
Happy Christmas. Yeah.
You too, guys. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
And will you be taking a flare into the ground this year, Bobby, or are you not going to bother?
Me? I'm going to end
so
on that.
It's so uncomfortable for you. That question.